Okay, we're going to start with our post-race media availability, and we're with the owner of Junior Motorsports. I believe this is correct, but five straight wins. I think it's maybe one short of a record if I heard broadcast correctly. But regardless, incredible accomplishment. Dale, maybe talk about that, and also big story of the race was Lee Pulliam and his performance. So, yeah. What do you think about the 250 laps there today?
Yeah, we worked really hard in the off season. There was some rule changes and stuff that everybody in the Xfinity Series or the O'Reilly Series was having to work around and figure out and understand. And we had a lot of changes as well with our personnel. We moved some crew chiefs around and had some drivers shift around, some new drivers come in. So just a bunch of change, really, in the organization. You always kind of worry about that. But I noticed it. Phoenix, we had really good speed, so that was a good indication maybe of how we were going to be the rest of the year, or at least out of the gate, and we'd have been able to hang on. You know, we've been able to show that kind of speed every week. I was real proud of everybody this weekend with the cars and just the cars were taken to the racetrack. So we have a lot of support with Hendrick and you know, but a lot of times those type of rule changes hit us pretty hard. I've seen in the past probably 10 or 15 years when we have that kind of a change in our series, we work really hard and have to work to gain back kind of what it takes away from us. But so I was just real proud that we hit the ground really fast. I've shared that emotion and impression with our people and all of our employees. So that was the number one thing. Justin's done an incredible job just leading our organization, always has. He's always been dependable, always been fast, always been a great teammate, always handled sponsors perfectly. I've mentioned that with all of y'all many times. And he continues to do that, continues to be just exceptional across the board in all things, and just doing a great job on the racetrack. Overstreet is new crew chief this year's. I think I was just telling him, I said, I thought Junior Motorsports was giving you pretty good race cars, but I think these might be the best race cars we've ever given you in all the years that we've worked together. And, so Overstreet's extremely happy to be having success. And just proud. I'd like to see the other guys get wins. You know, I'm very, very big fan of Sammy and Carson and Raja, and so I'm hoping that those guys get their opportunities to win some races this year. But if we keep bringing cars like this to the racetrack, that's certainly going to give them great chances. And Lee did a good job this weekend. I could sit here and talk about Lee for a good half hour. He worked extremely hard to be prepared, doing a lot of sim, working on his health and being fit and all those things. I mean, he took this opportunity extremely personal and took it to heart. He wanted to come in here and be ready and as good as he possibly could be. And so I'm happy for him. He put a ton of pressure on himself. He doesn't know that, he doesn't know if he'll ever get another opportunity to race at this level. And he really, I think, did a pretty good job absorbing everything that he could. I feel like that what he succeeded, I feel like the things that he's done in his career afford him the opportunity to feel what it's like at this level and kind of at least get that experience so he can know what that's like and know how he stacks up. And I think he stacks up really well. So he's still relatively young and would do a really good job in a truck or an Xfinity car for any other program that would give him another opportunity. And, of course, we'd love to run him more, but it's difficult to do. But it worked out, and I feel like, he had that little mistake on the restart. People make mistakes. We all make them. He's beating himself up about that a lot. And he'll regret that part and probably be hard on himself, harder than he should be. But I feel like all in all, I mean, incredible to come in, run a race, go up there, run well, lead laps, run the car hard and up front and get a great result in a tough race. This one's a grinder, and you can get spit out pretty easily at the end, and he survived it.
Okay, if you have a question for Dale, please raise your hand. We'll get you a mic. We'll start with Jeff, Reed, Zach, and then go in the back.
I saw you went over and talked to Raja in the garage afterwards. He had maybe like 7-8 minute conversation with Jesse Love, and they just hashed it out, and they listened to each other, and it was really kind of impressive to watch. What does it say about the maturity that you've seen from Raja and Jesse as well, that those two guys are able to talk like that?
Well, I went over. I did not see what led up to that. At least I didn't think I did. I saw Raja go down into 3 and 4 and kind of just use the 2 as a guardrail, and then got himself spun out down in 1 and 2. And I had a conversation with all of our guys when the new point system came in. I said, the way you've raced and the way you thought about racing and winning races and points and playoffs and championships is completely going to change. And we're going to change the way we approach the season. And we're going to get ahead of it. And I told all of our guys, I said, in these moments, you cannot cost yourself positions. You have to get home. And I know he's mad. I know he feels like maybe he got used up a little bit. And he lost it. He flipped the switch. And he cost himself 15 to spots. I don't know how many spots at the end of that race. He cost himself all those spots that it was unnecessary. And so I went down to him and I was like, hey, I'm not fighting right or wrong. I don't know if you were wronged. I don't really know what led up to this. But like in those moments, we got to kind of keep ourselves together and get home. And because this is a long season-long championship battle I want to get ahead of that. I want our team to realize that and not make these mistakes while the other guys stumble through this and finally figure it out midway through the year and go, oh crap, man, I gave up a bunch of points in the first third of the year because I was foolish. And I want our guys to sort of understand what we're trying to do in terms of the long game for points. So I went over to him and I was like, hey, do you how many spots do you think you gave up there? And he took ownership of it, and he's like, I shouldn't have done that. That was my fault. I should have held it together. And I was like, I don't even want to argue or talk about what led up to it, because I don't, you're racing. If you feel wronged, I'm with you. I believe it. I believe whatever you believe. But even in those moments, we can't lose control and give away a bunch of spots. And so he's a better race car driver right now than he was an hour ago. And he is a very level-headed dude. I'm not shocked at all that he had a conversation and talked it out and figured it out. He's not got a short temper. He's pretty measured and in control. And I told him, I said, that was very out of character. I would have never seen, figured you to do, lose your cool like that. But, I know he's mad, but we also got to think about how many points we gave away today, and we're going to want those back in a couple months. We're not going to be mad about what happened in the corner anymore, weeks and weeks from now. But we'll be, those points ain't coming back,
Reed Spencer with the NASCAR Wire. Justin and Jim Pohlman had such a strong and successful relationship. Are you at all surprised that Justin and Andrew have clicked so quickly and so strongly?
Well, I probably am. I am. We changed a lot of folks, and all our teams got better. I wasn't really sure if that was even possible and achievable. But Sammy's better. Every little move has seemed to improve everybody. And the teams are running better than I expected. The conversations they're having, the temperament, the relationship between crew chief and driver across the board is very, very good. You'll have 4 teams, and, man, you got fires to put out here and there throughout the season, right? And you got disagreements and frustrations, and you got to kind of keep everybody on the same page. And right now they're really all doing great together and working well together. And I think they're all kind of impressing each other and surprised by the speed and the results and stuff. Sammy's done such a good job working hard on himself. He's a much better race car driver today than he was a year ago, and continues to try to strive to be better, getting results that he deserves to get and should get. And I'm surprised. I believe in Overstreet because I put him in that position, but shoot, I don't think anybody would have guessed they'd have won these races and run as well as they are. And so, Yeah, I'm happy for Justin. He deserves it. He, when Jim was leaving, we were worried, right, about Justin's ability to go out there and us to give him the cars that we know he can, he deserves. He's in, I don't know, the last couple of years of his career. I don't know how long. If he wants to run another 5 years, we'll do it. But I don't know if he's running one or two more years. I want to be able to give him winning cars all the way to the very end. And so that was a bit of concern for my for me personally, was I going to be able to give him the cars in these final few years for him to go out there and continue to win. Yep.
Zach, did you have a question in the back?
Zach Catanzuetti, kickingthetires.net. Your five drivers had five completely different days today, five different experiences of what can happen to you in a NASCAR race. I know you've spoken about this before on how you speak to your drivers going from one to the other post-race. How have you been doing with that? You know, it's a lot of drivers and a lot of different things and a lot of emotions for each one. Yeah. How have you been getting better at that as an owner?
Man, I tell you, you want to – every time you talk to a guy, you want to make him better. I put a ton of pressure on myself to tell them things that I help that will be helpful, right? And I've made some missteps in the past in terms of criticism of a driver or how I've spoken to a driver or how I've reacted to something they've done on the racetrack, and I don't know that I'm all that perfect or great at it, but every time even today, like you walking up to each guy and you just want to tell them something that makes them get better, and right with Raja, right? You want him to he owns the misstep, we're not talking about what happened on the racetrack, but he knows he can't give away 10, 15 points. And I said, hey, we made that mistake today. Tomorrow we won't make it, right? He's like, nope, I'm not going to make that one again. So we're a better race car driver right now than we were 15 minutes ago. And I went up to Lee and I was like, Lee, I was like, you're beating yourself up about the mistake on the racetrack. I said, you're going to have about 10, 15 minutes to talk to the media and tell the rest of your story today, and you might not never get to tell it again. Don't spend 15 minutes apologizing for that mistake. I was like, you know, tell everybody you made a mistake, you're sorry, and move on, and make sure you can thank all the people you want to thank, because when it's over, it's over, and that might be the end, his last opportunity, right? Of course, I hope it isn't, but if I wouldn't have said anything to him, he would have probably sat there and apologized for 15 minutes, and that would have been all he'd have been able to say the rest of the day. You know, he needed to put a period on a great result that he had and be proud of his work and thankful for the people that helped him have this opportunity. So just, you know, every time you're going up to those guys, you're just trying to – Justin's the one where, I mean, this ain't a knock on anybody else, but Justin's the one guy where, I mean, if I didn't even get to victory lane, he wouldn't have thought nothing about it. You know, because I could have called him and said, hey, man, I was talking to the other guys, make sure everybody was good to go. We had a couple, things to clear up and whatnot. And he's just a professional and understands the business and everything. You know, we got a lot of cars out on the racetrack. So Sammy, man, he's so good here, and I was proud of him to get a great result. And I know he wants to win, and he feels like, well, you know, we come to Martinsville, he's got a great shot, top two, top three. Look at his tied Sam Ard. With top tens, I think, in a row, top tens in a row, seven top tens in a row, tied Sam Ard. I think I saw it on the graphic on the TV. Sam Ard, Sammy Smith, Justin Allgaier, and then Jimmy Hensley. I mean, a lot of y'all might not know Jimmy Hensley. Maybe you probably don't even know Sam Ard. Those are two bad dudes, especially here. And so to be on that list for Sammy, awesome. And I was proud of him. I know he wants to win. He thinks this is his best track, but that's what I shared with him. But it's just, you know, you're trying to help them, trying to give them something that makes them feel good about themselves and makes them better race car drivers. But they also got to recognize mistakes and missteps.
Trey Lyle, frontstretch.com. Dale, talk about the emotions of throughout the day with Lee. You had to do a lot of like coaching on the radio, and it felt like, you know, he was able to probably perform as well as you probably expected. But ultimately, what was the kind of walk through the day for your emotions of kind of having to be there with Lee as he performed like he did?
It was weird because Lee at this point in our lives is a better race car driver than I am, so it was hard to give him any advice. You know, he gets in the late model stock car, goes to South Boston and wins features. He almost won the 300 here last year. I mean, he's still just such a talented driver, and I don't know that we'll ever know how good he really was. And we got a little glimpse today, but you know, he's a hell of a driver, and I felt like, you know, I was real reserved about sharing much with him because I didn't want to. I thought he had a little shape to his entry, and that's a late model stock kind of thing, and all the guys that are racing around him are driving in a lot narrower and shallower and harder on the brakes, and that's just time in these cars. And so I thought I could help him a little bit there, but I don't know that it was anything, you know, game changing. But you know, Denny Hamlin was texting me during the race. He needs to work his tires more. He needs to keep his brakes hotter. I'm like, I'm telling him. I'll keep telling him. And Josevar's texting me. He don't need to worry about that. Josevar, he knows all about making mistakes. And he's like, oh, man, he needs to get over that one fast, you know. And I'm like, all right. And so I had a lot of additional help on the phone from other drivers and so forth that are excited. Butterbean, he was like, man, don't let him beat himself up too much over that. Got a rebound. But Josevar had a really good text. He said, you know, at the end of the day, does he want to have a great story to tell, or does he want to fall apart over that mistake and that be the message at the end? He's like, he's got a chance here to come out of here looking strong and getting a good result, and that's what he wants. That's what he'll be proud of if he can do it. So it was fun just seeing some of the excitement and support across the industry for Lee. I had a lot of people come up to me on pit road before the race, just, you know, who've watched Lee race for years, people I know in the industry that I didn't even know knew Lee. So it's been a lot of fun seeing the excitement around that.
Okay, we'll take one more for Dale. We'll wrap up here.
Tim Moore, Motorsports Today. Dale, you mentioned, at least from Justin, the worries going into the year because you didn't know what to expect. But from your perspective now, three wins, continuing to put up performances, at least from the point he's joined Junior Motorsports, is this the best Justin Allgaier has looked in his career?
Well, I don't know. He's got a lot going on. He's got his family, his kids, all that, and the tire business. And you know, he's got a lot of priorities that are shifting around in that sort of top five in his life at this point. And racing has always been at the top. And, you know, that's for him to answer how much, you know, how much more or how much longer that he can sustain what he's wanting to do. And because eventually, you know, he's got the tire business up north or whatever, I think is going to be pretty important and a big part of his life going forward. And so he's kind of coming to a crossroads, but I don't want to speak for him. He's kind of like Denny, I guess, an anomaly, you know, just as good, if not better. At this age, you see a lot of guys, you know, I'll be honest, I've asked this question on my podcast from a lot of veterans, like, why do you slow down? Why do you lose the edge, you know? And there's a lot of reasons, but one of the things, I mean, he's still got his health. He's still got a lot of things that sideline some guys and slow guys down. And I think the one thing that I guess I'm surprised by him and Denny is they are willing to take the same risk that they were willing to take the first time they got in a race car. A lot of guys start dialing it back, you know, not willing to hang it out there and not willing to put themselves in some spots that are uncomfortable. But and Justin, I mean, he's the Gator. On restarts, there's nobody better in the Xfinity Series or the O'Reilly Series. His restarts, I mean, he just goes out there and gets spots, gobbles up spots. I don't ever see him making bad choices or getting used up on restarts too much. He's always a guy kind of taking advantage of those opportunities, moving forward. A lot of guys don't have that tenacity at an older age. They lose that sort of hunger and assertiveness and determination really late in these races, right? They get passive and they just play the long game. And, you know, when push comes to shove at the end of the races, they start, you know, instead of pushing, they start getting shoved around a little bit. But he drives like he's, you know, he drives 10 years younger than his age, you know, and just body language and how he looks out on the racetrack. So, I mean, he's still got a lot of good left in him, and And so it's pretty impressive.
And to not to go back to the podcast earlier in the week, but obviously the whole debate about him potentially being a Hall of Famer. But I just want to know at least if you can give specifics from your end. What would you like to see from Justin over, rather it's the next two, three, or beyond for he you don't to
owe
say?
Nothing. He don't owe nothing to me.
No, but I'm saying, what would you like to see from him to say he's a Hall of Famer? Do you think he's a Hall of Famer right now?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, no. You know, I think... We didn't have that in the notes. I know a lot of people thought that we drummed up that conversation to try to get all the clicks, but you know, sometimes that stuff just happens. But we didn't even have that on the sheet, and I happened to be in the committee doing the trying to get the ballot going for the Modern Day and the Pioneer, and there's some conversations going on there, and I was a little nervous to talk about it publicly. Last year was my first year, and they were like, you know, you can go out and talk about this, but don't tell anybody what was said in the room, but you can tell people who you kind of voted for, and you can tell people your opinions. So I was a little more comfortable, I think, this time post-meetings to have conversations around the Hall of Fame. And one of the most, you know, I think one of the more, you know, challenging conversations that's been a topic in the last couple of years was AJ. And I thought, man, I wonder how that conversation might go in this room during our podcast. And that started the conversation that led to talking about Justin. And because I was thinking in my own head, I'm like, man, if Justin won 6 or 10 more races and another championship, would he not find himself on the ballot at some point, possibly? I really think that gets him in there, you know, maybe on the fringe. I don't know that it gets him in the Hall of Fame. The only thing about that is – When I sit in the room and we got all the ballot up on the wall, right? I look at that ballot and I go, they're all Hall of Famers. And somebody in the room always says, let's just vote them all in. You know, but you only get 2 or 3 a year, right? And so they're all Hall of Fame. They all should go in. But we have so many Hall of Fame nearly first ballot guys literally going to be in the field tomorrow. And every year, one or two more of those guys pop up in that ballot, and they keep that guy that's third, fourth, fifth every year, they keep him in third and fourth and fifth, right? So like a Harvick or a Truex, you know, those guys come in, you're like, well, shit, of course I'm going to put him in. And so that keeps that fringe guy, that third or fourth or eighth or tenth guy on the ballot, that keeps them literally on the ballot every year and nothing more, right? So I don't know how you – I don't know the solution to that, but it's tough to see. But you got guys coming out of the sport right now that are absolutely Hall of Famers, no question, absolutely Hall of Famers, and they're going to get your vote, as they should. But so it's a fun conversation. There's not like a right or a wrong, and it's Travis's opinion was absolutely, you know, I don't agree with it, but it was his opinion, and I called him multiple times throughout the week to commend him for his stick-to-itiveness and his honest assessment and how he had a lot of people that actually backed his opinion. I was kind of surprised at how many people felt like he felt. So it was a fun conversation to have. Sometimes I'm nervous to have those because it can get a little tough or uncomfortable, but that makes for good podcasting, and it's fun to have conversations that that can spark good debate. So I saw it travel all around the whole industry. It was crazy. Like, all kinds of people picked up on that and started, you know, doing content on it. So pretty interesting.
Well, Dale, congratulations on another win, and thanks for the time today.
Yeah, thank y'all.